from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. It's great to be with all y'all this morning. I'm obviously not in my natural habitat. And as I've stated last week, we're moving studios. The studio's getting revamped. We're not really moving studios. My studio, which is, you know, in my own home, is going through a makeover for the next about 2 to 3 weeks. Significant makeover. It's going to be much, much better. And I'm trying to go back to the interviews I used to do back in 2019, which were in person, in my home, long form, wide angle type of conversations, very Joe Rogan-ish, 2 to 3 hours type of deal. And so we're kind of revamping the whole studio. We're redesigning the whole thing. I've got contractors working on it as we speak. And so I'm somewhere else. So you kind of get to move with me. This week I was in a hotel. I'm back, you know, here and so forth. So thank you all for tuning in this morning. We've got a packed show. And I don't mean that in the sense of the word. I'm a bit triggered. I'll warn everyone that I will have a rant here early on, and I apologize for that, or I don't apologize for it. But either way, it's what I feel about the situation at the moment, so we'll take it at face value. Join me for a coffee cup. Cheers. Finally got an espresso with all y'all this morning. Sorry, like I said, all the stuff is in boxes in the studio, so you'll have to settle for my double espresso and a green cup. Coffee cup. Cheers, y'all. One more sip because I've got a lot to rant about on this morning's show. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Please make sure to subscribe. Please make sure to follow us on Substack, on YouTube, on Spotify, or Apple, and make sure you're following us on social media. The United Health Group released their Q1 earnings yesterday, reporting an $872 million impact due to the ransomware attack that disrupted Change Healthcare. Despite the $872 million hit, they still earned $7.9 billion in Q1. UnitedHealth says its first quarter revenues grew almost $8 billion year over year to $99.8 billion. That's insane. The ransomware attack's impact includes $593 million in direct cyber attack response costs and $279 million due to business disruptions. This is significant, and if you're a CISO and you're reading these numbers, if this isn't on your next board slide deck, on your next board report, on your next executive report, you're missing the point here. This ransomware attack cost them approximately $872 million, but they're saying it could reach up to $1 billion in impact, up to $1 billion. A billion in impact from this ransomware attack. Change Healthcare is also the biggest payment exchange platform used by doctors, healthcare providers, and over 70,000 pharmacies within the United States. They've also got contracts with over 1.6 million health professionals and 8,000 healthcare facilities in all 50 states. In February, the attack there happened. Obviously, they were double extorted. I'm not going to bore you with the details there. Those are well known for many practitioners. But now let's get to the second part of this. Where do you find 435 people that have rarely accomplished anything in life outside of squandering taxpayer money to go after the very victims of the crimes that their policies arguably lead to victimhood? I'm specifically speaking about the House of Representatives. And yesterday, there was sharp criticism of UnitedHealthcare for its role in and response to the ransomware attack on its subsidiary Change Healthcare that crippled parts of the U.S. healthcare system. And then a bunch of elected morons like this one, the subcommittee ranking member, in an issue said during a Tuesday hearing before the Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee that their massive network, which processes around 15 billion medical claims, that's billion with a B because she's trying to teach us how to spell. Apparently, she underestimates the ability of Americans to understand what B for billion means and how it starts. While encompassing around 900,000 physicians, 118,000 dentists, 33,000 pharmacies, 5,500 hospitals and 600 labs. The attack shows how UnitedHealth's anti-competitive practices present a national security risk. I'm going to call bullshit on this one. It's the administrations in a row that have been unable to create any sort of dent in incentivizing nation states that host these types of criminals to put a dent to it. Neither Russia nor China nor North Korea, and definitely not Iran, are incentivized in any sort of way to reduce their types of cyber attacks on the U.S. economy at all. In fact, it just goes by the wayside. It's diplomatically handled. However, you, Congresswoman Ishu, could do something about it. You could take other people in your subcommittee, like, you know, Chair Kathy McMorris Rogers from the respectable state of Washington, or Buddy Carter from my home state of Georgia, and say, the federal government has failed the American people, not by allowing business to do what business does, but by failing to de-incentivize and incentivize threat actors to attack U.S. businesses at this scale, and by not targeting and not punishing the countries and the infrastructures that host them. Change Healthcare might be partially responsible for what happened. The greater picture of what we're seeing here is your responsibility as elected officials. And it starts at the top with Biden, and it goes all the way down, and it also goes back to Trump and Obama and Bush and everyone else. They're all liable, regardless of party. You could put an end to it. You could very well put an end to it. Say any cyber attack that originates from Russia, China, or so forth is going to get hit with either sanctions, limitations, whatever the case may be. You could do a lot with that. You could say that any sort of attack, we will retaliate as part of that, and we will hack you back. And if you hack Russia and China a few times back, maybe once you show a little bit of force, a little bit of power, like we're not messing around, maybe then crime will be reduced. Maybe then the incentive will be different. Maybe then the targets will look different. And maybe then we can do something different. But nope, not today. Not these elected officials. Let's shame the victim. Continuing on that trend, MGM is now suing to block the FTC investigation of its data security practice, partially because, one, it's unconstitutional. There's a good argument. I've actually read the brief yesterday on the flight home. I kind of agree with it. I do think this investigation is unconstitutional. The FTC has no business butting into the minds of MGM's data security practices. MGM was a victim of a crime. That's like the FTC or the cops saying, we're launching an investigation into how you defended your home when someone broke in. Once that thunk in, excellent. The lawsuit, which was filed Monday in DC, follows several months of back and forth between the agency and the hotel and casino chain, which suffered a debilitating cyber attack. It also appears to be that FTC chair Lina Khan was at the hotels when the cyber attack happened. And apparently she was like, well, we've got to look into this. No, you don't. What you have to do is go to your boss, that's the president, and say, we've got a serious challenge for the U.S. economy. This is greater than anything else we're facing. This is, you know, a death by a thousand cuts. We're bleeding money. Our economy is suffering. It's costing consumers and businesses millions, if not billions of dollars. We ought to put a stop to it, Mr. President. How about we start looking at the countries that host these threat actors and actually do something about it? Nope. Instead, let's go after the victim. Why? Because they're easy. They're doing that with Microsoft, MGM, Change Healthcare. These are your elected officials. This November, maybe we can elect some competent people. My money's not on that. Let's move to more other stories, less ranting here. Mandiant on Wednesday published a new report summarizing some of the latest activity Russia's Sandworm group has been working on, specifically around the disruptive malware like Black Energy and Industrioyer. Since the start of the Russia-Ukraine war over 2 years ago, the group's been focused on causing disruptions within the Ukraine. Sandworm was believed to be the same APT as Fancy Bear. While some of their activities overlap, they're both part of Russia's GRU. And Mandy says, but they are different groups, and they've started to graduate Sandward to a different APT, APT 44. They've been using several hacktivist personas, including Cyber Army of Russia Reborn, Xacnet, and Slonaspec. Carr is interesting because in the past months, it's made some claims about being able to manipulate critical infrastructure OT assets in the U.S. and the EU. They've posted videos showing how they were able to manipulate HMIs at water utilities in Poland and the U.S. In March, the group posted a video allegedly showing that it disrupted energy generation at a hydroelectric facility in France by manipulating water levels. While the claims could not be verified, publicly available information suggests they may have indeed caused some disruption. Approximately 2 weeks after the Telegram post taking credit for the U.S. targeting, a local official publicly confirmed a systematic malfunction that led to a tank overflowing at one of the claimed victim facilities. Again, the fish stinks at the head. We have weak leadership, feckless leadership, unable to deter our enemies from targeting our infrastructure, thus hurting our civilians and our populace. Cisco is warning about a large-scale credential brute forcing campaign targeting VPN and SSH services for Cisco, Checkpoint, Fortinet, SonicWall, and Ubiquiti devices worldwide. This brute force attack is the process of attempting to log into an account or a device using many username and passwords until the correct combination is found. Once they have access to the correct credentials, the threat actors can then use those to hijack the device to gain access to internal networks. According to Cisco Talos, this new brute force campaign uses a mix of valid and generic employee usernames related to specific organizations. Researchers report that the following services are being actively targeted: Cisco Secure Firewall VPN, Checkpoint VPN, Fortinet VPN, SonicWall VPN, RD Web Services, Mictrotik, and DryAttack, and Ubiquiti are all victims. This is potentially linked to earlier attacks as well, and you can see more in the show notes. Threat actors are exploiting the unpatched Atlassian servers to deploy a Linux variant of the Cerebr, aka ransomware. The attacks leverage CVE-2023-22518, has a CVSS score of 9.1. It's a critical security vulnerability impacting the Confluence data center and server that allows an unauthenticated attacker to reset Confluence and create an admin account. That's a significant vulnerability. If you haven't patched it, you need to. Once they have access to take over the affected systems, it leads to a full loss of the CIA triad: confidentiality, integrity, and availability. According to Cato, financially motivated groups have been observed abusing the created admin accounts to install the Efluence Web Shell plugin that allows the execution of arbitrary commands on the host. That then obviously drops a piece of malware there as well. So there's that if you needed any more of that. Ivanti has released security updates to fix 27 vulnerabilities in its Avalanche MDM solution. Two of them are critical heap overflows that could be exploited for remote command execution. Avalanche is used by enterprise admins to remotely manage, deploy software, and schedule updates across a large fleet of over 100,000 mobile devices from a central location. The company explained on Wednesday two critical security flaws, CVE-2024-249-906 and 29204, were found in the Avalanche WL Info Rail Service and WL Avalanche Service components. They're both caused by heap overflow weaknesses, and a patch is urged to be applied immediately. And you can find the links in the show notes there as well. Chrome 124 was released in the stable channel, patching 22 bugs, 13 of which were reported by external researchers. There were three high severity issues based on the bug bounty reward handed out. The most severity, CVE-2024-3832, described as an object corruption defect in the V8 JavaScript engine. Oracle, for their end, released 441 new security patches as part of their April 2024 critical patch update. More than 200 of them address flaws that can be exploited by remote unauthenticated attacker. They've identified 230 unique CVEs in Oracle's April CPU. More than 30 security patches address critical severity vulnerabilities. Oracle Communications received the largest number of security patches this month at 93. Of those, 71 address bugs that are remotely exploitable without authentication. Fusion Middleware had 51 security patches. Financial Services had 49 and eBusiness Suite 47. Also, MySQL had 36 patches. 9 are exploited remotely without authentication. Systems with 22, Communications with 14, Java SE 13, Virtualization 13, Analytics 12, Enterprise Manager 11, PeopleSoft 10, and Retail Application with 10 as well. So you want to make sure you get your Oracle environments updated ASAP. adding fuel to the Israeli response to the aggression by Iran over the weekend. A drill yesterday combining cyber and combat warfare was conducted in the northern part of Israel. According to the Jerusalem Post, the drill held with the nation's cyber and technology units to test a combination of cyber and kinetic warfare in preparation for a response to the Iranian attack. Earlier this week, Israeli citizens received threatening text messages purportedly from an Iranian-backed hacking team warning that it has hijacked the nation's radar systems, stating, "You only have a few hours to fix the systems." Israelis have not verified nor confirmed that information, but that's get ready there. We could see something. Obviously, we start there's a Jewish holiday coming up, which, you know, the last big major Jewish holiday, 1,200 Jews were killed by Hamas. Passover starts on Monday night, and I'll be out essentially Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the following Monday, and I'll be back the following Tuesday, April 30th. And Chris Fallon will be guest hosting the show while I'm out for Passover. So thank you all for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day. Please make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Substack. I'm dropping the Kill Chain, the decentralized Kill Chain article. Finished it yesterday officially. Should be posted tomorrow morning. Until then, have a great rest of your day. And most importantly, y'all, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.